What's the experience been like heading up that church?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Before I came here, the longest I stayed at the church was 5 years, and here 15. So that says something about the community, the relationships, the church has been a very, very good experience. We've had our hard times, but we've worked through them. Just a great community of very faithful folks. Developed some great friendships there. And, you know, it was a ministry where a lot of it was, I often joke to people that more people stopped me to talk to me in the grocery store or walking down the street than they did actually coming to my office and saying, I need to talk to you. It was one of those communities where it was good at least once a day to walk down Main Street or go to the grocery store, because that's where you made a lot of your connections, which I think says a lot about this community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you were also pretty active, I think, in the Ministerial Association.
Yes.
And a number of the events they put on and are involved mm-hmm. in around town. Most recent was Blessing of the Fleet. That was your last time?
No, the Baccalaureate.
Oh, okay. All
well,
right.
Actually, let's run it back. Memorial Day service. The Ministerial Association does a service up at the cemetery. And that was Monday. And then before that, I was a speaker for the Baccalaureate. And then, you know, Blessing of the Fleet. Late April, May seems to be our busiest time as Ministerial Association. But we also do a Good Friday service and a Easter sunrise service at Sandy Beach. You know, and those are enjoyable. I work with some great colleagues, men and women in ministry over the years here, and it was very good.
Why are you heading on?
Well, first off, I'm hitting retirement age, and I've been involved in ministry really for 42 years. And at some point, you start to feel these little hints of being burnt out. I mean, I love the ministry, but you are involved in people's most wonderful days, weddings, births, and their most terrible days, you know, tragedies. So after a while, it kind of wears on you. And I began to see that I was starting to burn out, and I didn't want to get in a situation where I was totally burned out and, you know, putting the people in the church in a very awkward position of saying, you're burnt out, you need to leave. I saw the signs and thought, let's end on a good note and a positive note. So it was time. The time was right. And in my life, and it just was the right move at the right time.
You mentioned being involved in some of people's hardest times. You saw some of that with search and rescue as well, but also some great moments, some victories. And can you talk about some of your memories and being involved as a volunteer in search and rescue over the years? Or?
Well, we pulled off some pretty good rescues. We had 10 people trapped in the snow going to Raven's Roost one night several years ago and guided them through the night and got them off the next morning. We also had Raven's Roost seems to be our big place. So we've had several rescues up on Raven's Roost. People just, you know, basically didn't understand that once you get to the top of the trail, you're not at the cabin. You still got almost a mile and a half to go before you get to the cabin. And that mile and a half is where people get spun around, turned around, too tired to make it. So that's been our main searchings. And, you know, we've had some fishermen not make it back to the lodges and some other things since I've been here. Luckily in Petersburg, the people here are pretty savvy, and they know if you get turned around, locals do, just drop off the hill. You either hit the road or the water, and then they know where they are. So most locals are pretty savvy at self-rescue. But one of the things I've tried to do in search and rescue is to get people aware and prepared, you know, aware that anything can happen, aware that even on a simple day hike you can get stuck out there. Be prepared for that. Have survival gear. Let people know where you're going. You know, responsible people that know, oh, my gosh, you're not back by the time they said, you know, let's give the police a call and they'll call search and rescue. So just trying to do that preventative work to prevent a tragedy, because that's the last thing you want to do is, you know, have your team call in that they found the person or deceased and have to break that news to the family. And luckily, I've not had to do that.
And all that information makes it easier for searchers, too, who are going out who know where they're looking, when you're supposed to be back and mm-hmm. where and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, because if somebody says, well, they went for a drive somewhere on the island, well, it's a big island, a lot of back roads. And we've actually had that type of search where, you know, someone took off driving and didn't come back, and oh man, you look at the map and you just go, oh good grief, and you only have limited personnel with vehicles that can get in some of the really, you know, back country.
That search and rescue squad always looking for new volunteers?
Always looking for volunteers. A lot of our people, like some of them are fishermen, so they're not here in the summer, or Forest Service workers. You know, they're out in the field in the summer. In the winter, a lot of people head south. So we're always kind of fluctuating. And so we always need volunteers of every kind of skill. They don't need to necessarily have outdoor wilderness skills. It may be, you know, operating radios, taking down information, preparing meals for searchers as they come in after a furlough. So there's always needed, and have them contact the fire department, and they can get them in touch with. Patrick Fowler is taking my place as captain, and R.D. Parks has been there a number of years, so he's one lieutenant, so it's in good hands.
Okay. Has it gotten easier over the years, technology-wise, for searching for people? Has the volunteer department gotten equipment that has made it easier to find people?
Mm-hmm. We've gotten better radios, better coverage, radios that link to GPS. So when you key your signal, I can tell exactly where you are. The radio improvement has been what's really helped us, because that's communication is absolutely vital out there.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's different gear they're bringing out for search and rescue units, night scopes, and some units are using drones for searching. So the technology is building on that. And as technology grows, more and more people are being saved in the wilderness.
And I imagine more are taking out personal beacon-type things, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing to make it easier to find.
And most new cell phones actually have your GPS position on them. And we have ways that if you're out there and you say, I don't have GPS on my phone, we can say, okay, do these following steps, and we can locate your GPS, and then we know where you're within 10 feet of where you are. So, yeah, the technology out there is far better than it was, you know, even 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, finding people.
Okay. All right. Other thoughts on your time here at Petersburg as you look back on either of those capacities or other parts of the community?
Well, you know, the fact that it is a wonderful community, the fact that you know everybody, and when we've had difficult situations, you know, it's amazing the outpouring of people. And I think one of the things that I have liked here is that, you know, in some communities, I know this is odd to say, but, you know, if you're a pastor or part of a religious organization, you kind of stay within that little community. Here, I've got so many friends who literally have never darkened the door of the church, never going to darken the door of a church, but I've been able to build very, very good friendships with people outside that. I find that it refreshing, and it keeps me grounded in my ministry. So I've liked that I've been accepted in this community from the word go by a whole variety of people, and I really enjoyed it. The other thing I really enjoy is this radio station. I love to describe it as eclectic, because you turn on and you don't know if you're going to be listening to classical or jazz or old school rock, new school rock. It's always been, if you will, a fun adventure turning on the radio and seeing what's going on today. And just, I've always kind of loved that.
Oh, good. Good. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Any other things we missed that are important?
We're going to. We're really going to miss this place. It's been such a part of our life. I mean, we raised our kid here, and he went to school here, and had a very, very good experience, junior high and high school. So we're just it's a part of our life. And, you know, we're going to go to West Virginia, where I think it's 80-some degrees there right now. So trying to get used to a whole different climate. Oh. But we're going to play right Alaska most of the summer and come back through here at one point, pack up a few more things, do a couple cabin trips. So if you see me on the street in late July, think, yeah, that's me, because like I say, we're going to go out and enjoy some of the cabins, wilderness cabins.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you.